The Yeshiva Gedol of Johannesburg proudly presents the Wednesday evening shiur, covering the Parashas HaShavua, the Yomim Tovim, and other special topics as delivered by its founder and Rosh HaYeshiva, Rabbi Israel Chaim Goldfein, Zichrono Livrocha. Details regarding how to order additional shiurim follow immediately after the conclusion of the shiur.
This week's Parsha is Parshas Vayera. At the end of the Parsha, Perekov Beis, Pasuk Aleph, we have the episode of the Akedah Shitzchok. Akedah means the binding. When Abraham went and he bound Yitzchok to offer him as a sacrifice. This evening I would like to devote a shiur to this, to a number of points, to see what we can learn from all of this. Now, incidentally, this is one of the greatest episodes in the life of Avraham and Yitzchok, and which serves as one of the greatest foundations for Klal Yisrael. Vayhi achar advorim ha'ela v'alekim niso es Avraham. And it was after the above things v'alekim and Hashem came to test Avraham. Vayema elov Avraham vayema hineni. He said to him, Avraham, and Avraham said, yes, I am here. Vayemer kachno es bincho es shechitcho ashero afto. Take, please, your son. Avraham asked Hashem, which son? I have two. Es shechitcho, your only son. So he said, each one is an only son to his mother. Ashero afto, which you love. He said, I love them both. Es Yitzchok. Lech lecho lel eretz ha-Moriah, and go to the land of Moriah. Moriah was both a land and it was a mountain. And it was Yerushalayim. Va'aleihu shom le'ola, and bring him up for an offering. Al achad he'orim asherei marelecho, on one of the mountains which I shall tell you. The mountain which was being referred to is the mountain on which the Beis HaMikdash was later to be built in Yerushalayim. Now Hashem said, "V'haleihu shom." There, bring him up as an offering. He understood this to mean simply, like anyone else would understand it to mean, to bring him up as a sacrifice. Later on, when he asked Hashem, why are you telling me not to sacrifice him before you told me to bring him as a sacrifice? So Hashem said, no. I said, V'haleihu shom le'ola, bring him up as an offering. Now that you have brought him up to the Mizbeach, to the altar, now take him back down. But the meaning, though, was to, if for all intentions, to bring him up as a sacrifice. The Mishnah Masecht Ovis, Perekei Mishnah Dalet, tells us, Asor Nishenis Nishonos Nisnase Avraham Avinu V'omad Bekulam La'idia Kama Chibosei Shal Avraham Avinu. Avraham was tested 10 times and he stood strong in each one, to let us know just how great and how dear Avraham was to Hashem. This was the 10th test. This means that this was the greatest of all of the tests. Actually, we could go even a little further from the fact that it says 10. The Maral always explains that the 10 has a significance because it's Kelel Kol HaProtim. It encompasses everything before it. Like when you count 1, 2, and 3, those are known as Protim. These are individual numbers. 10 unifies them all, makes them into a cloud. So this also comes to indicate that this test test, which was the 10th, encompassed all of the 9 before. The question to ask is, why does HaKadosh Baruch Hu test people? Surely HaKol Yodua V'Goloi Lefonov, everything is revealed before him, so he knows what the people will choose. So what does he have to test people for? We've gone into this a number of times before. Here we'll just mention it very briefly. A second question is, in the Parsha, the whole Parsha, the first half, it states Alekim Vahi Achar Advorim Ha'ela Vahelekim Nisa Es Avraham Ha'elekim. This is the name of Hashem, which refers to Midas Hadin, which means he's a God of judgment. And this is the name which is used consistently in the whole first half of the Parsha. For example, later on it states, Vayelech el ha-mokom asher omar leho Elokim. They went to the place which Elokim showed him. Later on, he says, Vayem Avram Elokim yere le'aseh. Near the end of the Parsha, it changes to the Shem Havayo, Yudke Vovke. That refers to the God of Rachamim, not the God of judgment, of strict judgment, but the God of compassion. So what is the meaning of this? So we're asking two questions, which, again, we said we've gone into this a number of times. We'll speak about it only briefly here. Why does Hashem test people? He knows what they will choose. And the particular names of Hashem which are used in this parsha. Now in this there are two principles. The first principle is what the Ramban explains here, and the Maral in a number of places. One of the places is on that Mishnah Masechet Ovos. Sure, the Almighty knows how a person will choose, but until he chooses, he is only a potential force. He's not an actual force. For example, there's a great difference between a seed and a tree. A seed has the capabilities of producing a tree, but you cannot say that a seed is a tree. If never given the opportunity to produce, it will never become a tree. There's a great difference between a tree that has never given fruit or a tree that gives abundance of fruit. Even though the tree has such potential, if it's never produces or never is given the opportunity, then it remains only something which has a potential force which was never brought into reality. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants a tzaddik bepeil. He wants tzaddikim, he wants great people in reality, not merely people who have great potential, even if he knows how they will choose. The cemetery is full of people that died with great potential, but that doesn't make them into great people. And therefore HaKadosh Baruch Hu comes and he gives people the opportunity not only to prove that potential, but the opportunity to bring that potential into actuality, for that potential to blossom. The Ramban uses the expression called Nishenes the Tevis Amanusha. All tests and challenges which HaKadosh Baruch Hu brings to a person, that's for that person's good. Not for his bad, it's for his good. We find the greater the tzaddik, the greater the individual, the more he's tested, like it states here, Masor in Ishainis, Misnase Avram Avinu. Avram was tested with ten great tests. And it's for that reason. The more potential one has, and the more the likelihood that he will be able to utilize that potential, then HaKadosh Baruch Hu must bring that person opportunities, nefshoris, to give him such opportunities to utilize it. Doesn't want him to go to the cemetery at the end of his days with unused potential. Someone who has a little potential, or someone who HaKadosh Baruch Hu cannot trust if he'll pass the test, so then he won't bother bringing tests to him. But someone who has great potential and he can see that he can come through these tests, at least there's a good chance, then he brings him even more tests and trials to give him this opportunity. Call Nishenes the Tevis Amanusha. A test is for the good of the one who's being tested. And the same thing, that for that reason, call Nishenes Kpikeach Amanusha. That a test also for this reason is in accordance to the strength of the one who's being tested. Kodesh Baruch Hu does not bring a test to an individual which is impossible for him to pass. Just like one would not load his animal, his donkey, or he would not give a task to his ox, which is beyond the keach, beyond the force, the power of that creature. This is the first reason. There's a second reason, an additional reason, which the Maral adds. And that is, HaKadosh Baruch Hu not only wants a tzaddik bepeil, a tzaddik in actuality, he also wants a tzaddik nigle. He wants a tzaddik who is revealed in the world. It's the derech of the tzaddikim, lahastir tzidkesov, to conceal their righteousness. If a person is a true tzaddik, he's not going to let other people know about it. As it states, "V'hatzneu leches im Hashem elokecho," that you should walk in concealment with Hashem. What does HaKadosh Baruch Hu ask from you? This is one of the things He asks from you. Be righteous between you and me. Don't have to put it into the newspapers. Today, for some reason, we think that something is not real until it hits the television screen. It doesn't hit the television screen, it hasn't come into reality. It's no longer that the media reports the news, but it's not news until they report it, even if it happened. Something happened somewhere in the world and the media doesn't write about it. In today's world, we can question if it really happened, even though we know it happened. It hasn't come into reality yet. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu, no. Tzaddik is supposed to walk with HaKadosh Baruch Hu lahastir tzidkesov, to conceal his righteousness and conceal his deeds and conceal his greatness. That's from the perspective of the individual. But from the perspective of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he will reveal the righteousness of that individual, because he wants a tzaddik nigla, a tzaddik who is known in the world, and he will make it known. Why does he want this? First of all, he wants it to be known because HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants to publicize. He wants to publicize who his loyal people are, who his great people are. It's like a king wants people to know who are the ones that are loyal to him, who are his great servants. And he wants the world to take notice of them so they can be a role model to others. And further, he wants the world to know why he brings this particular individual close to him and why he gives him reward. Because Baruch Hu does not want the world to wonder, why do you give that individual so much reward and me and others you give nothing? Or why do you choose that nation and other nations you didn't? Because that will cause HaKadosh Baruch Hu's din and mishpot, his judgment and his justice, to be lacking in the world. There's an expression that justice not only has to be executed, but it must be seen also. This is the truth. HaKadosh Baruch Hu exercises his judgments, his justice. He does not want it to be lacking where people will feel that he's not doing right. He will feel that his judgment, his verdict, was not correct. He's tipped the balance of the scales. People must see that judgment of HaKadosh Baruch Hu is perfect. And how can they see that? Only if he causes the acts of the tzaddik to be revealed. Now, HaKadosh Baruch Hu brought close Avraham. He gave him all of the brachas. He brought close his seed. The nations of the world are going to want to know, is this justice? Yes, it is justice. Because no one else was loyal to me like Avraham. And therefore he reveals those acts. That's why we can understand now what is said at the end of the parasha, that the malach, the angel, came and said, "Ki ato yudati ki yirei elokim ato." Don't do anything to your son, because now I know that you fear God, because you have not even withheld your own son, your only son, from me. So what does it mean, now I know that you fear God? I mean, Hashem knew that before. So Rashi says, now I know ma lohoshi blasot nulumas hatmeim mahichi bosi etzlocho yesli piskon peach shom shereim ki yirei elokim ato. Now, not now I know, but now I have made known to the nations of the world. Now I know what to answer the nations of the world or the Sultan when they come and say that I am showing favoritism, I am tipping the scales of justice in Avram's favor or in Israel's favor. Because now I have revealed it to the world, just what you are. So therefore, this is the second reason. The first reason, in order that it should be a tzaddik bepeil, a person should be a righteous person in reality and actuality, not only in potential. And secondly, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will make him into a tzaddik nigla, where his righteousness is known. According to that second reason, the Maral brings, we can understand a medrash, because the medrash brings that the word nisoyon, a test, comes from the word nes shel sfino. A nes means the masthead of the boat. When you have a ship, so they had a mast or a flag on the mast, which people could see the ship from a long distance and recognize it. HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives a nisoyon to his tzaddikim in order they should be least naysayed by. Through this they can become known in the world. Now we can understand the second question we asked. Why does it use the word Elokim niso? Elokim came to test Abraham. Because Hashem was coming with the strictness and the exactness of a dayan, of a judge. The whole point and the purpose of this that we brought out was that Avraham's greatness should become revealed through the exactness of judgment, of deen, not through rachamim, because HaKadosh Baruch Hu is compassionate towards him. Because then the nations of the world can ask, why are you compassionate towards him and you're not compassionate towards me? Why them and not us? So he wants to show that I tested Avraham in accordance to the scales of justice, and he passed. So in this whole parsha, HaKadosh Baruch Hu acted as Elohim. Elohim always refers to the Dayan, the judge. Then we notice that as we go further through the parsha, the Shem Hashem changes to the Shem Havaya, Yudkei Vovkei. Where does it change? It changes in Pasuk Yud Aleph, where Vayikra Elov Malach Hashem Min HaShomayim. The angel of God called to him and said, Avraham, Avraham, Al Tishlach Yotko, don't touch the child. Don't touch your son. Because there the test was over. Once Avraham bound Yitzchok, and Yitzchok allowed himself to be bound, and he built him his Beach, an altar, and he put him on the altar, and he took the knife, and he was ready to cut his throat. The test was finished. He passed the test. And now came Hashem of Rachamim, of compassion, and said, don't go any further. Therefore, Vayikra Elov Malach Hashem, the Shem Havaya, the angel of Hashem came and said, Al Tishlach Yotcho, don't touch him. And here the name changes. In Pasuk Beis, it says, Vayeme kachno as bincho as yichidcho. Hashem said, take, please, your son, your only son. The word no, kachno, means bevakosho, please. Why is HaKadosh Baruch Hu saying please? The Gemara brings in Sanhedrin, and they have paid tests. Ahmed Beis. Omar Shimon ben Abba, Ein Noel Loshin Bakosho. Moshe Lemelech Vosef Adom. An example of a king, She Omdo Olav Milchomes Harbe, who had to go through many wars. Vayele Gibar Echod. He had one great warrior, Unotzchon. This warrior, he could always count on to lead the armies to victory. Le'yomim omdo olav milchome chazoko. But now came a war which was stronger than all of the other wars. So the king called in his warrior, his general. Omar lo, he said, bevakosho mimeko. I ask of you, please. Amed li b'mochom zu. Please win this war also. Because I've come to love you very much. You've been my loyal servant. You won so many wars from me. I don't want now that you should ruin your reputation. I don't want people to say that in all of the other wars he won, because they weren't so difficult. But when it came to a difficult one, he fell. He's not such a great warrior. So did HaKadosh Baruch Hu say to Avraham, as we mentioned, this was the 10th test. I've tested you so many times, and in each one you were victorious, you succeeded. Achshov, now I'm giving you the greatest test. Please, Amed li b'nesoin zeh, succeed also in this test. Because I've come to love you so much, I don't want to see you spoil it. I don't want to see you fall in this test. And then people will say, it's nothing. Easy tests, he got through. The difficult one, he failed. And it's not true, because everyone was difficult. Everyone was great. Therefore, please, do not fail me in this test. Now, this also goes into what we said before. The Yud Nishemis, the 10 tests, have a significance. Because 10 is the number which is always Keles HaProtim. 10 is a unit which encompasses all of the individual's items. And therefore, this 10th test really encompassed all of the tests. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, please, I don't want to see you fail in this test. Vayashkim Avram Baboker, Bosu Gimel. Avram got up in the morning. Whenever it states Vayashkim, that means Hashkoma, early. Avraham rose very early that morning. The next morning, Vayachavoshes Chamoro, and he saddled his donkey. Now Avraham was a king. We spoke on Shabbos on Avraham had. Rambam brings thousands and tens of thousands of followers. Beis Avraham in his household. And he was wealthy. Why did he saddle his own donkey? So Rashi brings from the Gemara, Mikan Sha'ava Mekalkal Es Ashura. That love distorts balance. Avraham had such great love to fulfill this mitzvah that he didn't have patience to wait for his servants, and he went and he saddled the donkey himself. And he took his two servants with him, and Yitzchok, his son. The two servants, who were the two servants? The Gemara brings, Rashi brings, Eliezer and Ishmael. The two lads. Vayavaka atze ola, and he went and he split the logs for the fire for the burnt offering. Vayokom vayelech elamokom asher omar lo Elokim, and he got up and he went to the place which Hashem told him to go. Now this that it states Vayashkim Avraham baboker, Rashi brings. This is to show us that he was a Zoris. A Zoris means that when you do something, you should do it with a great enthusiasm, a great zeal. And we see here that he was in his Zoris the mitzvah. And the Gemara in a few places elaborates on this. The Gemara says, for example, as a Mishnah, Afal Gav Shemila Kosher Kol Hayom. Even though the mitzvah of Mila is kosher the whole day, of the eighth day, but a Zoris, someone who does mitzvahs with enthusiasm, possible he will try to do it as early as he can. And it brings the great quality of Zrizus in mitzvahs, with a great zeal and a great enthusiasm. This is a great klal, a great principle that we have. And this is similar to that he saddled the donkey himself, because this came out of the love, Ahava Mekalkes Ashura. Love distorts balance. And it states, Ahava Mevi Lidei Zrizus. What brings a person to do something with great enthusiasm? When he has a love for it. And that's how we're supposed to go fulfill mitzvahs. But we can ask a question. This is a klal gadol, a great principle. Why is it particularly learned here? The place that we learn it from is here in the Akedah. this episode of the sacrificing of Yitzchok. Why? The answer to that is we should realize that Zrizus, this principle of Zrizus, and Chomer. Chomer is physical matter. The physical world are antithesis to each other. The keach of Zrizus, the keach of doing something with a great force, with a great zeal and enthusiasm and speed, and Chomer, physical matter, the physical matter of this world. Man is made of physical matter. These two qualities are hafechim zemizeh. They are antithesis to each other. What is Jesus? We have a Mishnah in Masechet Ovos that states, "Havi as kinomer," you should be as aggressive as a leopard, gibor kari, as bold and strong as a lion, kal kinesher. You should be as light as an eagle, rotz ketzvi, as quick as a deer, to be makayim the rotzein of avinu shebishamayim, to be fulfill the will of our Father in heaven. Now, the chemer, physical matter, has no speed, it has no boldness, it's not strong like a lion, it doesn't run, it's not light. To the contrary, physical matter has no movement in it whatsoever. If you take where the earth, which is actually our source of physical matter, there's no movement whatsoever, no motivation. It's called a domain. And domain means something which is dead and silent. That when we see matter moves, that's because it's moved through another force which is pushing it. But it itself does not move. All movement, to the contrary, comes from the nefesh. That comes from the nefesh, from the life which Hashem imbued to the person. Or any life he imbued into the creation, but not from the Adoma, from the earth. That's why the Adoma, more an even a stone, is domim, he's silent. The nefesh that he imbued into a creature, that moves the daimon. The nefesh he imbued into the creation, or the nefesh he imbued in man. And even more so, man was given not only a nefesh, but a seichel and a neshama also. He was given an intelligence and a neshama. That's what causes movement. But the chemer, its nature is where it does not want to move. It opposes movement. That's why it takes a keach, takes a force equal to it to cause it to move. That's what David HaMelech said. He says, "Le hamesim yahalelu ko." Dead people can't praise you, because dead people is when the nefesh leaves. And the nefesh leaves, she's only chemer. Now how can chemer praise? Or David said, "Ma betze bedomi, bedomi. What do you want my blood for? Why do you want my death? Give me life, lemani zamecha koved veleidom." If I have life, then I can move and I can praise you, and I will not be silent. So therefore, if we analyze this further, what is Zrizus? Zrizus is the beetle hachemer. Zrizus is the force which destroys and breaks matter. Matter wants to stay in one place. Zrizus breaks it. Or it pushes it from that place. It moves it. In order, and the type of Zrizus, the greatest Zrizus, is to fulfill Hashem's will. There the Chemer, for sure, does not want to move. Now, there was no place in Kol HaTorah, in the whole Torah, which required a greater bitul hachemer, a greater overpowering of the physical matter than here at the Akedah. Because for a person to rise up and get himself to fulfill HaKadosh Baruch Hu's will, to fulfill his command, and the command was to slaughter his own son and his only son, which he loved, as Yitzchok. This required a nefesh and a spirit and a willpower that could move a world of matter. And this was the greatest of all of the tests which HaKadosh Baruch Hu tested Abraham with. Therefore, since Abraham rose to this height, rose to this occasion, this was the greatest display of Zrizus. And therefore, from here we learn out this great level of Zrizus. From here, we can understand a medrash which we've also mentioned before. In the same posuk, it states, "Vayvaka atze olah," that Abraham went and he split the logs. There's a medrash which states that when Klal Yisrael came to the Kriyas Yamsuf, they came to the splitting of the sea. It says, Vayiboku Hamayim, the sea split. Uses the same word, Vayiboku, Vayivaker, from the word Boka. The Chazal, the sages ask, the miracle of splitting the Red Sea was from the greatest miracles which was ever executed in the world. A whole sea, and it splits wide open. And a few million people can walk across. Be'ezes chus, where did Klal Yisrael have this power, where the sea would split before them? So it says, the chus of Abraham. And which chus of Abraham? Abraham had many schus. The schus of Abraham's deed, where he was prepared to slaughter his own son for Hashem. And the Medrash says, how do you know this? We'll make a gzeirah shavah, we'll make an analogy. Because by Abraham it states, Vayashkem Avraham babeker, he got up in the morning, Vayavaka atze olah, and he split the logs. And here it states, Vayiboku hamayim, and the sea was split. And the Torah is using the same identical words to teach us that here the sea was split before Israel through the schus, through the merit that Abraham split the logs. Now it would seem that there's no equation there whatsoever. So the Maral explains, no. Because when the sea was split, this also was the bitul hachemer, the overpowering of matter in the world, the overpowering of spirit and soul over matter. Klal Yisrael came and the sea had to move away. Why did the sea have to move away? Because they rose to such a great height where physical matter could not stand in their way. They rose to the height where they ruled Egypt. They did not fall prey to the abominations of Egypt, and Egypt was destroyed through them with Moshe, Aaron and Miriam. And now even the sea could not stand in their way. This is the level of shichrur, of freedom. Freedom of what? Where man's soul and spirit soar so high that no longer is he a slave to any physical matter, but to the contrary, the whole physical matter of the world becomes his servant. So the sages say, where, how could they come to such a level? Because Abraham came to this level. Where? How can someone fulfill the command of Hashem to sacrifice and slaughter his own son? This can only be where the spirit and the seichel soar so high where it can overcome all obstacles of the physical world. And this was displayed when he went and he split the logs to sacrifice Laola, to sacrifice his own son. And just as he split the logs, there is the breaking the physical matter of the world in order to fulfill the will of Hashem. From there it was ingrained in Israel that the physical matter of creation will also be split when they come to fulfill the will of Hashem. And they were going to receive the Torah. So therefore, Vayiboku Hamayim, the sea split. In what's chus? In the merit, Vayavaka Eitz Atze Ola. Then Abraham split the logs for the sacrifice. When he took the two lads with him, Yitzchok was not sure where they were going, because Abraham merely told him that we're going to Har HaMoriah, to the mountain, and to make a sacrifice. Yitzchok only realized later . But it seemed from Pirkei de Rav Lezer, this is in Perek Lamed Aleph, that as things progressed through the journey, the two Na'orov, Eliezer and Yishmael, realized what was happening. So it states, Nichnas Tachrus Bein Eliezer Bein Yishmael. They got into an argument. Hayeme Yishmael Eliezer. Yishmael said to Eliezer, Akshav Avram Makri Vesitzch Bnei La'ela Meikto Al Gab Mizbeach Anihu Bechede. That Avraham is going to make a sacrifice from his son Yitzchok. I am his firstborn. Ani Yerish Es Avraham. I will inherit him. Eliezer said no. Kfar gereshko ki isha migureshes mibailo. You have already been driven out of his house, and he sent you into the desert. But I am his faithful servant day and night. I will inherit him. They were busy dividing up the inheritance. Ruach HaKedish mishivo esom. And then a voice from heaven came down and told them, Leze Yerish Veleze Yerish. There's nothing to fight about. Neither of you will inherit Abraham. And Pasuk Dalet, Beyem Ashlishi, Vayisa Avram Eseino, Vayara Mokum Erochek. The third day, Abraham lifted his eyes and he could see the place from far away. Vayim Abraham el Na'orav, and Abraham said to the two lads, Shvu lachem pe'im hachamor. You two stay here together with the donkey. Vani v'hanar en el chad kei. And I and Yitzchok will go until there. V'nishtacha there, we will bow down. V'nashuv aleichem. and we will return to you. Incidentally, the Gemara says, when Abraham said, we will return, he wasn't prophesying anything. But many times a person will say something, and it'll be a prophecy. Because the truth was, they both returned. Now, on the third day, they saw the place from far away. What did they see? The Pirkei de Reb Lezer states, Kivin Shagia Litzalfim, they came to a place which was a good lookout place. It was on a high point. Abraham in the distance saw a mountain, a long way, and he saw the Shekhinah there. What does it mean he saw the Shekhinah? Maro, Amut Shel Esh, Min Oretz Ara Shomoyim. He saw a pillar of fire from the earth to the heaven on that point. So Abraham wanted to make sure that what he saw, he saw. Maybe he was tirchas aderech, maybe he was tired from 3 days of journey in the desert. So he said, Yitzchok, bini, rei ato klum echon min ahorim halolo, do you see something on one of those mountains? He said, yes. Matareya, what do you see? Omalei anireya amut shaleish, emin min ahoris ala shamayim. I see a column of fire from the earth to the heavens on one of those particular mountains. So Abraham now, hevin Abraham, ki nitsa anala oil. So Abraham understood. Omel Yishmael Eliezer. Now he said to Yishmael Eliezer, do you see anything on one of those mountains? Omrulai Lav said, no, they didn't see anything. Choshevei Som Kechamorim. So he said, Kishem Shein Achamorei Klum. Just like this donkey doesn't see anything, Kachatem Ein Chamoreim Klum. You also do not see anything. Incidentally, this was a special donkey. This is a special donkey. But the donkey couldn't see. In other words, they were given a vision which was only given to them. And he said, the donkey doesn't see, we see, I see, Yitzchok sees, but you also don't see. You're like the donkey. Therefore he said, Shful lachem pei ima chamor. You two stay here with the donkey, v'ani v'hanar yechu atei. And I and the my son will go up there, Nashuva, and we will return. The explanation in this is because that point that Abraham was going to was the highest point that a person could reach. It was the tenth of all of these nishaynas. And Lav Kol Adam Zeichel is there. Not everyone can come to such a level. This we mentioned was the level which gave Israel the power that the sea should split before them. So he realized that he was capable of that level. And he realized that Yitzchok was capable of that level. But the other two were not. Just like the donkey is not. So he says, you stay here. We will go there. But then we will return to you. Then, Vayikach Avram es atzei ha'oleh vayosem al Yitzchok b'nai. He took the wood and he put it on the Yitzchok's shoulder, and he took the fire and he took the knife, and they went up there. And Yitzchok said to Avram, he says, we have the fire, we have the wood, where is the sela ola? Where is the sheep? And now Avram said, Hashem will show us the sheep la'ayla b'ni. Vayilchu shneim yachdov, and they both went up. The Pirkei de Reb Lezer says, Heichan hu haseh la'ayla? Yitzchok asked, where is the sheep for the ayla? He answered him, Elakim yirale haseh la'ayla b'ni? Atahu Aser. You are the sheep. You are the sheep. At that time, then Yitzchok understood what is taking place. And the Torah says, again, Vayelchu Shneim Yachdo, the second time, they went together to bring out, Rashi brings out, that just like they walked together with a unity before Yitzchok understood what was going on, that's how they walked with a unity after Yitzchok understood what was going on. We might ask here, once Yitzchok understood what was going on, why did Yitzchok allow such a thing to happen? Well, we'll say the answer is because Yitzchok, this great test for Abraham was a great test for Yitzchok. And just like Abraham wanted to pass the test, Yitzchok also wanted to pass the test. This was something that Yitzchok, all his life, was his proudest moment. He says, "Ani karafti es nafshoi, I gave my life for HaKadosh Baruch Hu." But the question we can ask is, where was Yitzchok commanded to do such a thing? Now, Abraham was commanded, because this is what he heard from Hashem, the Nevuah, through prophecy. But Yitzchok did not have a prophecy. So where was Yitzchok commanded? If a person decides that he will take his life for Hashem, this is a carnal avera, willingly take up his own life, or willingly allow himself to be killed for Hashem, when the situation does not call for it. If he has a prophecy, all right. But he didn't have a prophecy. So the answer is, he listened to Abraham, and he trusted Abraham. Abraham told him, this was the prophecy from Hashem. But on that we can ask a further question. What happens if a person comes to you and he says, I received the prophecy from Hashem, and it tells us to transgress a mitzvah? The demons were not allowed to listen. So how was Yitzchok allowed to listen? So in that, the answer is, the Gemara says, Gemara asks this question. Gemara asks this in Sanhedrin, in and that pay test on the base. So the Gemara says as follows, that if a person comes and he will tell you, break a mitzvah in Hashem, this is a prophecy I've had, if he tells you to break it forever, now then we can never listen to him. That's a novi sheker. See, that's a false prophet. To the contrary, we put him to death. If he tells you, break it merely temporarily, though. In other words, this mitzvah has to be broken now, not all of the time. Then, it states, that if he is muhsak lonu, if we know him, and we know him as a great tzaddik, as a righteous person, and he's trustworthy, then we must listen. So that's what the Gemara says, that Hecha de Muksak Shani, where he's Muksak, where he's known to us to be a great tzaddik. And he doesn't say to break a mitzvah permanently, but merely temporarily, then we listen. We have to listen. The Gemara brings a raya. One raya brings from Eliyahu. Eliyahu did such a thing where he offered korbanos, he offered sacrifices outside of the Beis Hamikdash, because the hour called for such a situation. And then the Gemara brings a proof from the fact that Yitzchok listened to Abraham. See? Otherwise Yitzchok would not have been allowed to listen to Abraham. Incidentally, though, this is on all mitzvahs except Aveiros Zorah, idolatry, we're not allowed to listen to anyone, even temporarily, no matter who he is. Yitzchok, them, and Avraham, they came to the place, and they were told to build a Mizbeach, an altar. And where they built the Mizbeach, the Chazal tell us, was the place where the altar was to be when the Beis HaMikdash would be built there. And that was the place of the Mizbeach, the altar, that Adam HaRishon made when he was created, and Noach made when he came out of the ark after the flood. And Yitzchok told Avraham, Avraham told Yitzchok what took place. So Yitzchok says, this is something I want to do, we must fulfill the will of Hashem. So Yitzchok helped with all of this. And then Yitzchok states, by Avoel HaMokum, they came to the place, by Yarech Eso Eitzim, see, and he put down the wood, by Yaakov Es Yitzchok B'nei, and he bound Yitzchok. Yitzchok told his father that you must bind me, and he bound him like you bind an animal for a sacrifice. By Yosem Eisei Ala Mizbeach Mimala Eitzim, and he put him on the altar above the wood. Then Avraham went and he took the knife. And he put the knife next to the throat of Yitzchok. Meanwhile, it states that the Malachi Ashoris, the angels of high, were arguing with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, how can you allow such a thing? Why don't you intervene? Kiven shegia acherev al tzavorei. Once the knife just touched the throat of Yitzchok, porcho v'yotze nishmose shel Yitzchok, the soul of Yitzchok jumped out of him, departed. Evidently the Neshomo also wanted to fulfill the will of Hashem. Then Vayikach Esamacheles Lishchedes B'nei, the Pasuk Yud, he took the knife to shecht his son, Vayikre Elom Malach Hashem in Hashemayim, and a Malach of Hashem, this was the Malach of Hashem, Rachamim, of compassion, called out and said, Al Tishlach Yotcha El Anar Ve'al Taas Leimu Uma, do not do anything to the nar, because now I know Yirei Elokim Ato, how you fear Hashem. So it states, Kiven Shishmiya Kele Mibein Shnei Akruvim V'Omar Al Tishlach Yotcha El Anar, the soul departed from Yitzchok and went up to heaven. When it came to the two Kruvim, when it came near the throne of the Almighty, there it heard the voice say, Al Tishlach Yotcha El Anar, do not touch the sun. Chozra Hanefesh L'Gufay, so the soul went back to Yitzchok. V'hitira V'Omar Al Raglov, and he unbound, Avram unbound Yitzchok, and Yitzchok stood up. V'ro Yitzchok Tchias HaMeisim Min HaTorah, and Yitzchok saw with his own eyes the Tchias HaMeisim, the reviving of the dead. And then Yitzchok understood how there can be the Tchias HaMeisim. He understood Shekol HaMeisim Asidin Leichoyosh, how all of the dead will come alive again, because that is what happened to him. The Esau Shor, at that time, Yitzchok made a brocha. What brocha did he make? Baruch Ato Hashem Mechaye HaMeisim. Blessed are you, Hashem, who gives life back to the dead. That bracha we make every day, three times a day in the Shmei Nesrei. We make it in the second bracha. The reason why we make it in the second bracha, because our rabbis teach us that the three brachas at the beginning of the Shmei Nesrei are called Oves. They are the brachas of the Oves. First bracha is Avram's bracha. That's the one that speaks of Chesed. The second bracha is Yitzchok's bracha. The third bracha, Ato Kadosh, and that's what we say Kedusha, that's Yaakov's bracha. So therefore, in the second bracha, which is Yitzchok's bracha, that's where we speak of Mechaye Hamesim, Atogibor, and we make the bracha Mechaye Mesim, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu brings life back to the dead. When the angel said, I know now that you fear Hashem, the Gemara in Seita, in Andaf Lamed Aleph, the end of the fifth parak, says that they said to Avraham, I know now that you fear Hashem. See, Avraham was known for his love of Hashem, not for his fear of Hashem. And the fact is, we spoke of Zrizus, and Zrizus comes from Ava, from love, not from fear. The Gemara in Seita speaks of this. And it says, this fear is a year of Machmas Avosoi. This fear is a fear which comes from love. Kodesh Baruch Hu, Abraham had such a great love for Hashem. He saw his greatness, and this is what made him fear. This fear is a very, very high level. Then, Vayisa Avram Ezeino Vayarvine Ail Achar Nechas Basfach Bekanot. Avram lifted his eyes and he saw there was a ram caught with his horns. This ram that's brought in the Mishnah Ovis was Muchan there. He was created Erev Shabbos and he was there waiting from Sheshi Shemei Bereshis. He was prepared for this. And Avraham sacrificed him instead of a son. Every act that he did said this should be given, we should be given reward on this as if I fulfilled the mitzvah of sacrificing my son. The Pirkei that Reb Lezer says on this also something very interesting. Also Ayel Yotze B'Mena Dove L'Vatola. Nothing from this ram went to waste. The ashes of the ram, from the ashes of the ram, the Mizbeach, the inner altar of the Beis HaMikdash was eventually built. From the tendons of the ram, the tendons of the harp of King David would be made from, and so on. Then it states from his two horns, from his left horn, from both horns, HaKadosh Baruch Hu made two shafers. From his left horn, that's the horn, the shafer that HaKadosh Baruch Hu blew on Har Sinai at the time of Matan Torah. From the right horn, that horn he's saving. And that'll be the shafer HaGodl. Voya Bayema, who you talk about, shafer HaGodl, that'll be the great shofar that HaKadosh Baruch Hu will blow, Bekibut Shel Golias, when he brings all of the exiles back. Avraham called this place Hashem Yireh. Hashem Yireh has two meanings. One is Hashem sees. What does he see? The Gemara in Brachos brings on Samach Beis Amud Beis. Hashem sees the ashes of Yitzchok in this place, which means, now this was Yerushalayim, which means that Yerushalayim is the Mokom Hashchush. It's the place where Ashchuyes, our merit, comes from, because Hashem in Yerushalayim and Harabais in the mountain where the Beis HaMikdash is built, there he always sees the ashes of Yitzchok from this Akedah, and through this he gives us merit and rachamim and compassion. That's one interpretation of Hashem Yireh, Hashem sees. Another interpretation Targum Yenison brings. Rashi brings more or less both of them. Targum Yenison brings V'tamon is galish kinto Hashem. Hashem Yireh, Hashem Yireh. Not that Hashem sees, but this is where Hashem has appeared. He appeared here to Avraham, and he said, Al tishlach eshotcho, do not hurt the son. This means that this will become the place of the Shekhinah for generations. Here is where HaKadosh Baruch Hu will be and dwell. We brought before that there's a Medrash that explains that with this episode Yerushalayim acquired its full name, which means more than it acquired its full name. Hashem Meri Ala Etzim. Yerushalayim acquires its full name, it means that Yerushalayim acquires its full essence from this episode. Medrash brings in Medrash Rabbah in Nun Vov Parshas Tesain, Avraham Kore Seyireh Shnema Veikra Avram Shema Mokom Hu Hashem Yireh. Avraham called the place Yireh. Shem Kore Sey Shalom. Shem, the son of Nayah, who also was a very righteous person, he lived in Yerushalayim, and he called it Ir Shalom, Malki Tzedek Melech Shalem. So one called it the city where Hashem sees or he appears, and the other called it the city of peace. Kodesh Baruch Hu said, I don't know how to call it. If I call it the city of where I appear, then Shem will have tarumas, he'll have complaints against me. I changed the name he gave to the city. If I will call it the city of peace, of Shalem, then Avraham, who's such a great tzaddik, he will have complaints against me. I'm changing his name that he gave it to. Therefore, I will call it by both names. Yireh Shalem. From Yireh Shalem, he gave the name Yerushalayim. It's interesting, actually, in Hebrew it's Yerushalayim, but in Targum it's Yerushalayim. Now, this means that Yerushalayim has both of these qualities. Has the quality where Hashem dwells there, and the schus of seeing. He will be seen and he sees there. He sees the Afer, the ashes of Yitzchok. And it's the city also, Shalem, of peace that unites Klal Yisrael. States the Beis HaMikdosh united all of Israel, because all of Israel 3 times a year came to that place, and only there. But this level it acquired only through the Akedah, because then it graduated to its full name. And now one final point. At the end of the parsha, it was through this that Avraham and Yitzchok and we were zeicha to enormous brachos. Ki varech avarechacho v'har bar bezaracho. I will bless you twice. Echad la'av, echad la'bein. To you, your children, this world, next world. I will multiply your seed like the stars of the heavens and like the sands on the Svasayom, on the shores of the sea, V'yira Zaracha Yisharevav, and your children will conquer the gates of their enemies, V'yizborachu B'Zaracha Kol Gei Ha'aretz, and your seed will be through your seed all the nations of the world will be blessed, Ekev Asher Shomata B'Keli, because you listen to me. Vayoshev Avram El Me'orah Vayakuma Ve'yelchu Yachta Vel Be'er Shova. And Avraham returned to the two lads, to Eliezer and Ishmael, and they got up and they went together to Be'er Shova. It states Vayoshev, he returned. Should say Vayoshuvu, they returned. So it would seem that Avraham returned himself. The Medrash asks this, also in Parshas Nunvov, Oschof, Yitzchok Hechonhu, Rabun B'Shem Rabbonin de Tamon. So Rabun says, Sholcha Yitzchok Shem Lilme Mimenu Torah. Avraham returned himself because he sent Yitzchok in another direction. He sent Yitzchok towards Yushalayim. Avraham went towards Be'er Sheva. Because in Yerushalayim is where Shem lived. And Shem had made a yeshiva in Yerushalayim. He said, you go to Shem and learn Torah. So the Medrash asks, why at this time, all of a sudden, he decides to send Yitzchok right from there. He says, don't come home, right from there, go to yeshiva. Don't come home. Moshe le'isho shenis ashro mipolcho. An example of a woman who became enormously wealthy, multi-millionaire. How did she become so wealthy? She went into business. She started with one little piece of land. And from there she grew some crops, and she sold and she made money, and went and went, and she became an aristocrat with money. Omro ha'il min ha'plach hazeh. She says, since from this plach, he says, sha'arti, od eini zoz mitachesh yodai l'il. Because of from this piece of land, which I owned, all my wealth came from, I will always keep this land. Anything else, I can sell off. But this piece of land, I will always keep. Because this has been the source of all my wealth. Kachom Avraham. So did Avraham say. When he heard these brachas, that you will be blessed in this world and in the next world, and your children will become like the stars and like the sands of the sea, and they will inherit all the gates of their enemies, and all of the nations of the world will be blessed because of you, Akev, Asher Shomata V'Keli, because you listen to me. Avraham said, where is all my wealth coming from? He says, all my wealth came to me Bishvil Shosakti B'Teiru B'Mitzvus, because I gave my time and energies for Torah and Mitzvus. Therefore, anything else is indispensable, is dispensable. I can get rid of. But eini reitzi shetozuz mizare la'ilam. But I never want the Torah and Mitzvahs to leave my family. So therefore he told Yitzchok immediately. He says, don't come home. I'll go home. You go back, you stay in Yerushalayim, go to the yeshiva of Shem, so you can learn Torah. We see, where did the greatness of Klal Yisrael come from? Because lo chosachto es bincho es yechidcho mimeni. Even your only son, which everything had rested upon, Kodesh Baruch Hu promised him this son, which would be the lineage to the whole future. Your only son you will not withhold from me. This is how much a person was ready to give to Hashem. From there came the shleimus the totality of Yerushalayim. This is the dedication. From there came the splitting of the Red Sea. From there came all of the brachas to Israel and to the whole world. And where did it come from? Avram said it came because I gave my time and my energies, my life, to learn Torah and to fulfill its mitzvahs. And therefore, anything else we can depart with, but not Torah mitzvahs. Because if we keep anything else and not Torah and mitzvahs, we have nothing. If we keep Torah and mitzvahs, then we have the source which brought us everything. And therefore, he told Yitzchok, you go to the yeshiva of Shem. These are some of the great points that we can learn from this very, very great episode of the Akedah Yitzchok.
The Yeshiva Gedola hopes that you have learned much from the presentation. For further information or to order additional shiurim, please contact the Yeshiva Gedola of Johannesburg. Visit us on the web at www.ygj.co.za or contact us via email at audio@ygj.co.za, via phone at 011-648-7906, via fax at 011-648-0085, and via post at P.O. Box 66226, Broadway 2020, Johannesburg, South Africa.